Gather Round, we're chatting about books. These recommendations for elementary readers are produced by ReadWriteThink.org, a partnership between the International Reading Association and the National Council of Teachers of English. Welcome to episode 56 of Chatting About Books. I'm your host, Emily Manning, and in this episode, I will be sharing books about survival, as well as my interview with Lauren Tarshis, who is the author of the I Survived series. In light of recent events, such as asteroids traveling near the Earth, in fact, one exploding over Russia, and then that crazy cruise ship, the Triumph, that was stranded for days in the ocean while the people on board had no running water, your family or friends might have had a conversation of what ifs. Our family did. What if an asteroid landed near us? What if we had been on that cruise ship? That's why this podcast couldn't come at a better time. All of these book recommendations deal with the topic of survival. Some are about kids who survived major events in history. Some put you as the main character trying to survive, and others provide survival how-tos. Can You Survive Being Lost at Sea? An interactive survival adventure by Allison Lassure is like a choose-your-own-adventure. In this book, Can You Survive Being Lost at Sea? There are four different stories, and within each one, you are the main character and have to make life or death decisions along the way in order to survive. As you make choices, you learn important survival skills like what to do or what not to do if you're dehydrated, or how to save a drowning person. I liked the interactive nature of the book, and kids will too. If they're like me, they'll keep going back to retry their choices to get their best chance of survival. I made terrible decisions the first time that I read the book. This book is just one in this fun, interactive Can You Survive series published by Capstone Press. The Worst Case Scenario Survive Opedia Junior Edition by David Borgenicht, Molly Smith, Brendan Walsh, and Robin Epstein, and it's illustrated by Chuck Gonzalez, is an encyclopedia of survival tips. It is visually appealing and covers just about every disaster you can imagine. If you really do want to know if your family could survive an asteroid crash or how to survive an asteroid crash, you can read to find out exactly how to increase your chances. One thing I liked about this book is how it references itself. For example, as I was reading about how to survive an asteroid crash, I learned that you also might need to know how to survive an earthquake, a mob, and a volcano. So the authors provide the page numbers where you can find out that information. It's very handy. Now, the next book isn't a straight survival book, but it would be helpful to have if you found yourself in a survival situation. It is the Stick Book, Loads of Things You Can Make or Do with a Stick by Joe Schofield and Fiona Danks. Just like the title claims, this book gives directions and photographs on how to make things with those simple and prolific sticks. You can learn how to make a den or a tent, a navigation stick, a fishing rod, a sun clock, or even a stretcher. Now, those are all things you might need to know if you have to survive on your own. But if you're not in any kind of sticky situation and you just happen to want to have fun outside, there are also directions for plenty of games you can play with sticks, directions for cool things to make with sticks like bug habitats, fairy houses, stick people, dream catchers, and those are just a few. This book is perfect for a lazy spring or summer day. Our featured book in this episode is actually a series. It is the I Survived series by Lauren Tarshis. Each book in the series is a kid's survivor story from real historical events like the bombing at Pearl Harbor, Hurricane Katrina, the sinking of the Titanic, just to name a few. This series hits the nail on the head for me for several reasons. First, it's a nice entry point into history. Even though the books are fiction, there's enough history about each event to spark a discussion and further reading about these events. Second, the covers grab kids' attention. Every time one of these books came in the mail or I brought one home from the library, my son gravitated to them and wanted to start reading them right away. And third, for kids who are struggling readers, these chapter books make them feel like they're reading something of substance. When a child is reading below their grade level, it's really hard to find books that are both on their reading level but cover content that's appropriate for their grade level. This book meshes both of those things nicely. The newest book in the series is I Survived the Battle of Gettysburg, 1863. It is the seventh book in the series, and the main character is a young slave named Thomas who is rescued and takes refuge with the Union Army right before the Battle of Gettysburg. Our favorite I Survived book at our house is I Survived the Shark Attacks of 1916. This book will make you think twice about swimming in any kind of water. The main character is Chet, and he's attacked by a shark in a creek that's like the town's swimming hole. He is all alone when it happens, so when he goes back to tell, no one believes him, and then it's a race against time. He's got to get help before other people go swimming in the creek. I won't ruin the ending, but it's very suspenseful. Now, listen in as Lauren Tarshis talks more about her I Survived series. Today I am here with Lauren Tarshis, who is the author of the I Survive series. Welcome to Chatting About Books.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Let's start with how you came up with the idea of the I Survive series. How did that come about?
My real baby at Scholastic is a magazine called Storyworks, which is a language arts magazine read by about 400,000 kids in 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, with a real sweet spot really in the 4th and 5th grade. It's used as a supplement to language arts curriculum. But really the most important feature in the magazine are these very rich, very meaty narrative nonfiction pieces that we create ourselves. I started sneaking in just fabulous, thrilling stories about events that, frankly, I would have been interested in. So earthquakes, man-eaters, battles, you know, these events through history that I just think have a universal appeal. Mm. I started writing articles about them. And the response I got from teachers and kids was so striking. So I also noticed something really interesting, which was when I would go and meet with kids and teachers and talk about these stories, what fascinated the kids and what they wanted to talk to me about wasn't the lava or the tsunami or the flood or the fire. It was the boy or the girl. They wanted to know, you know, what it took and would they be able to, what would they do in that situation? Many years went by. I just really had this idea. I thought, you know what? There's nothing out there that's for a more, maybe a struggling reader, that's very narrative, that has heart to it, that are character-driven stories, but are wrapped in these thrilling plots. So I just over a weekend, I had the idea for the series. I wrote the proposal, and you know, it quickly came to be.
That's so interesting. I had no idea that that story was behind those books.
Yeah.
I have a son, a 6-year-old, but when these books came in the mail for me to read, I mean, instantly grabbed them, especially that shark one.
I love a man-eater. It was funny because in Storyworks, I did a story years ago. It's a famous story, actually, from the colonial Africa about these man-eating lions who attacked workers who were building the railroad. There was a movie made about it, and people really imbued these lions with almost supernatural powers. So we wrote this. It was a very thrilling story. And then there was a picture of the lion, one of the lions they'd actually, you know, they had hunted, and its carcass was hanging. And one of my colleagues said, "You can't put that in a magazine for kids." And I said, "Yes, I can." They want to see it. You know,
they
it's not
do.
That you want to terrify them, but they are fascinated by these events.
I worked with 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade struggling readers too, but it's always about finding the thing that will motivate them and make them want to pick up a book over and over again. Because I think in those older grades, it's more about motivation.
Yes, I think you're right. And it's one of the most rewarding things. But I get these incredibly moving notes from parents who say that.
Are the characters in your books based on real people?
I wish I could say they were, and it would be much easier to write them if they were. I do a ton of research. So for a historical figure, like my Pearl Harbor boy, Danny Crane, I did a lot of research on kids trying to find a credible character. And I found that, you know, there were these gangs in New York City, and, you know, it was this volatile time, and I was very curious about what it would be like to be a single parent at that time and what would happen to your son if you were living in New York City. So I do a lot of research about the time. Sometimes I stumble upon stories of real kids that give me seeds, but pretty much the kids are very much wholesale out of, you know, out of my imagination.
Well, and that's funny that that would be harder than finding somebody real.
It's very difficult. I mean, it is, in fact, right now I'm researching Gettysburg for number 7, and it's going to be a boy who's a slave, who's run away, which is really did happen, you know, and got swept into the Union Army as a refugee. So I'm reading to try to build the character. I've read now maybe dozens of slave narratives. I'm reading about a typical boy in 1862, boy soldiers, because that's who he's going to connect with. So the other difficult thing about writing the series is that the whole purpose for me is to construct a story where the boy comes into the story missing something, a connection to family, a sense of self, a feeling of courage. And he's not just living through the disaster and like, oh, great, you know, phew, I made it. It's through the disaster, in some, you know, sometimes it's a small way, sometimes it's a big way, he kind of discovers something in himself. So that's what's really difficult. And sometimes I'll get 3/4 of the way through a draft and I'll realize that it just isn't coming together.
Oh,
the story
no.
and the character are not developing, and I have to start again.
Wow.
With a whole new character.
Wow.
So it's an interesting challenge. It's like boot camp for novel writing, because it's like, because that's sort of the whole thing about writing a novel is the character and the plot.
Mm-hmm. And how they fit together. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Which I Survive story captivated you most while you were researching it?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny. I think they all do. They really do. I would say that the historical ones, you can really go back in time through research tools and almost feel like you're in a time machine. So like for the Titanic and for Shark Attacks and for Pearl Harbor and for San Francisco earthquake, the New York Times actually has on their website something called Times Machine. They PDF'd every single page of the magazine going back to of the paper going back to 1860.
Wow.
So you can actually not just research an article, but you can read the entire newspaper on a day. So I actually read, you know, almost a full year worth of those news for every year I've researched, because you don't want to just know about the event.
Right.
You want to know what people were thinking, what else were they worried about, where were they shopping. That is the best part of the experience, is
that is so
becoming
cool.
Captivated. Yes, you would love it. I so recommend it.
I will definitely have to try that.
You will like it.
Yeah, I will get sucked in, I'm sure. After reading The Shark Attack, I have now a little bit of fear about sticking my feet in any kind of fresh water.
Well, I will tell you, that is what I tell everyone. First of all, shark attacks are extremely rare. That was a freakish event.
It's very freakish.
Very freakish. And I will also tell you that most people survive shark attacks. Sharks really aren't interested in eating us because we are not delicious and bad enough for them. I think unless you're deciding to like go to the barrier reef in Australia covered in jewelry at dusk with your dog, maybe some like fresh meat hanging off your body, I don't think that you have to worry about it. The chances are very, very low.
Okay, very good. Well, now, have you developed any phobias or anything since researching these books?
I know, I have developed, I think it's a healthy respect for nature and weather. I also have developed a really healthy respect for like the fire drill, fire alarm, because so many times in these stories you see that people had no warning, they were caught off guard, or they disregarded warnings. I try to be vigilant. You just never know.
Well, thank you so much for being here on Chatting About Books.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Well, we've reached the end of episode 56. Thanks for listening. In this episode, I chatted about books that have to do with survival. They were Can You Survive Being Lost at Sea? An Interactive Survival Adventure by Allison Lassure. The Worst Case Scenario Survive Opedia Junior Edition by David Borgenicht, Molly Smith, Brendan Walsh, and Robert Epstein, and it's illustrated by Chuck Gonzalez. The Stick Book, Loads of Things You Can Make or Do with a Stick by Joe Schofield and Fiona Danks, and the I Survived series by Lauren Tarshis. To see the show notes to this episode or to listen to past episodes, go to readwriting.org/chattingaboutbooks. Well, we are done chatting about books. Get on out there and read. More episodes of Chatting About Books and our teen book podcast text messages are available at www.readwritethink.org. Chatting About Books, Recommendations for Elementary Readers, is supported by the Verizon Foundation through Verizon Thinkfinity and produced monthly by the International Reading Association and the National Council of Teachers of English.
The opinions reflected in this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the supporting organizations. Music in this podcast is provided by freeplaymusic.com. Thanks for listening. Let's chat again soon.